the opinions you love, the history you crave. This is Rant DM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Up. Unbelievable.
It was, wasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry. Your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports, entertainment, and PC fuck-ups. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the fuck-up, Mr. Phil Rea. Joining me as always,
the Mega Powers, and I'm great!
Well, I was going to play the Lee Marshall tribute, but about 48 minutes before start time, my computer decided it was going to update itself and install a new operating system. Anybody who's a Mac user, there's a new operating system out called the Maverick or Mavericks. I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know what happened, but my computer totally just stopped seizing and went into this mode and installed. I was on the phone with Apple troubleshooting for almost an hour to the point where I reached out. I was going to install all the broadcast stuff on the MacBook, which I should have done originally as a backup. But, of course, I don't think of that because I work 70 hours a week and I do this and I have a family and all this other crap. But now I'm going to be more conscious about my endeavors and take care of that. So I'm sorry for everybody who waited in the chat room. I'm sorry to Tank, who's supposed to come on with us. He's definitely going to be on with us. Business as usual. I just have to, get this together. And, Dave, I apologize to you as well. I didn't get a chance to speak to you. Because by the time I would have, because it kept telling me it was going to install, and then all of a sudden it was like, all right, 55 minutes, 7 hours and 8 minutes, 53 minutes. So by the time Dave actually texted me, there was like 10 minutes left. So we were going to do it as a pre-recorded podcast, and Dave's like, nah, wait the 10 minutes. So we waited 10 minutes, and here we are. So I'm
and
sorry.
You know what? It's okay, because now we're live.
We are live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Had a little back injury on Monday. Kind of heard some snap, crackling, popping when I did some deadlifts at my friend's gym, which I don't use weights. I just use DDP yoga. So he had me jump in. I did all right, and I just heard something snap. Luckily, I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
some DDP yoga right afterwards. I'm back on the recovery track.
Wifey's on some hardcore DDP yoga right now. She was working it this morning, man. Let me tell you, she is hardcore into it. She's looking great. Dropped about 30 pounds.
Nice.
She's on this crazy diet. She'll get into that on her new podcast, which will debut this weekend, episode 2 of The Unsilent Majority.
Nice.
We are on the Rant, as always. I'm sorry, rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. This has been an an interesting evening, to say the least. All right, so before we get into our news and our kick-ass throwback, which we'll have Tommy join us after the quick break in a little while, we'll do some news first. I just want to give a shout-out to the Pro Wrestling Syndicate guys. I was at, Dave and I, well, Dave stopped by. I went to the show this weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on staying. I was hoping a friend of mine moved to Queens, but I heard the jury was going to be there, and I was going to be in town for a little bit, so I just stopped by, said what's up, and, Mike Noren Donger, as I like to call him, Mike Boring Donger. He likes to call himself, he has several names, like Dennis Crappleby Jr., and got to meet the guy in person, and he looks more like Rocky Dennis from the movie Mask. He's got a weird looking face, but he's an all right guy. I don't judge.
Right. Nonetheless, the Midnight Jury were in the house. They were fantastic. I hung out with those guys all night, and bunch of fun. Actually, Tim Mayfield was in effect as well. Tim was there. We had a great time. Eddie was working. Shining was Eddie working the boards behind the scenes. The card was good. I was going last minute, like at 10 to 6. My wife's like, "Yeah, I'm not taking the card. Just go." Then I realized how close it was to my house. I was literally under 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's
not that far. It was 278, like straight through. Rangers big win tonight. I couldn't watch the third period because I was doing this shit. So congrats to the New York Rangers moving on. They give me heart failure every year now the last couple of seasons because they take every round to the seventh game. It's just – I don't even want to talk about hockey right now. I'm just so aggravated because we have a lot of shit to get into. Yes, anyway, I went to the show. It was great. New world champion Mario Bokra, the Croatian sensation, cashed in his medallion, their version of Money in the Bank.
They have a medallion?
It's like a medal, like a medallion, yeah. So he cashed it in during the Kevin Matthews boom.
How do you win this medallion?
He won it last year at the one of the big events. It's like, you know, it's like their Money in the Bank, except it's like it's like a medal.
Took this guy long enough to cash it in.
Good dude, though, man. Solid. He actually beat Homicide in the first match.
Damn.
And I said to Mike Norenganger, I was like, you know what? I said, don't be surprised this dude might be cashed that in tonight. Mike's like, yeah, I never thought of that. He was fighting the first match. Now it's the last match. Kevin Matthews putting on a clinic with Bonesaw, who's no slouch himself, is the undefeated world champion. They go at it, and right as Kevin was getting the upper hand and getting the momentum, he took a couple of, you know, Bonesaw gets the momentum back, and then the music hits. And Mike looked at me, I was like, see, I knew it. Like I was well, my initial prediction was that they were going to end the match and he was going to come out and cash in, but he cashed in during the match. So
see, that's why guys like Mike Borendonger got to listen to our show to get the insight that only we have.
Listen, the Midnight Jury they don't sell yourself short. Their last couple of episodes have been fantastic, and I made sure I told them that.
And, they always do great shows.
They do, man, and it's just no bullshit. No, this is just a straight shoot. We are very blessed between the Rant and the Shining Wizards Network. We have an abundance of great talent and great people around us. So just, you know, if you're a fan of our show, you got to be a fan of the Wizards Network. Got to be a fan of the Rant. Good stuff going on. We'll plug all that stuff at the end of the night. So
you're damn right.
You're damn right. Let's get into some news you can use.
I haven't heard that phrase in a while.
According to the WWE Network fact sheet as of Monday, the following programming will be added to the network in 2014. For your in-ring, they're doing a tribute to the troops on the network in 2014.
Nice.
A couple of original shows, the Monday Night Wars, which we spoke about already. Yeah. WWE Total Divas, I'll probably replay the first couple of seasons. Mm. And a segment called WWE Rivalries. Which I haven't gotten a description on that. I know Double A spoke about it last night.
Boy, Scott posted something about that today.
I'm sorry, who?
Scott.
Scott! You mean that Scott?
That Scott.
Okay. All right, so then Dave's going to dig this. The Vault, the WWE Network Vault. Clash of the Champions.
Oh,
that means 23 of them. Well, I have them unedited from like VHS. So,
oh,
but I told you I had those, right? I had like, it's like 20. Yeah, okay. Saturday Morning Slam, the Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
They're gonna have that on there?
Yes, I can.
What?
Yes, I can put my videotapes away. I've been showing the kid my videotapes.
Oh man!
You know who did the voice of Hulk Hogan?
Who?
You see that show? Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
The cop, the big guy. Forgot his name. I forgot his real name. The guy in the chat room helped me out. He did the voice of the of Hulk Hogan in that
the
show.
The guy who plays the dopey guy, right?
Yeah, the big dude.
Yeah. Wow, he did the voice.
Voice of Hulk Hogan, right? Shout out to my wife. She bought me a cheese plate. I love her. She's the greatest. All right, let's see. Saturday night's main event, WCW Nitro. I know Tony C will be happy about that. And that's pretty much it.
I'm looking forward to when they have WCW Saturday Night on there.
Yeah, I like those old Shotgun Saturday Nights too. Brad, yeah.
There's no seasons, but like when they first started doing it and they were doing it in the clubs and shit like that, that was off the hook. I love those.
Yeah, that was Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, but they were having some of the Shotgun Saturday Nights like filmed before Raw or SmackDown, one of the two, and they stopped doing it in the clubs.
All right. If there's any technical difficulties, I apologize about the lag or the volume. Again, I'm Brad Garrett. Thank you, Poplock. Who's Poplock? That's Matt, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt. Big hockey fan, too, by the way. Me and Matt had a little conversation.
Well, he's from Canada. They have to love hockey.
I know, and I love the fact that... I was talking to Matt yesterday on social media, so shout out to Matt. Shout out to everybody, by the way. Rage's in there. Bad News Rage.
Yeah, if you don't like hockey in Canada, I think like the Mountie shocks you with his cattle prod or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway. The updated Extreme Rules card, I think they added the fucking midget match.
Another midget match?
To be El Torito versus Hornswoggle, right?
El Dorito and Hornswoggle, all right.
Yeah, whatever. If you didn't see Raw, Bray Wyatt had a nice, Bray Wyatt had a nice little opening segment, which is, if he doesn't win on Sunday, man,
with
I don't know.
Children.
Yeah, tune into the rant. They're going to have a pre-show. That quiet was great, huh?
I don't know. I thought it was a little bit cheesy, but, you know, I've watched so many horror movies at this point. It's just kind of like, whatever. But as long as everybody else enjoyed it, then it's cool. I liked Cena's reaction. That gave me a good little chuckle.
All right. Let's see. What other? I don't want to talk about the whole card. WWE's re-signing Rey Mysterio. He headed to Titan Towers as of yesterday to re-sign a new deal. I don't know why.
Yeah. The guy's knees are shot.
Yeah. I don't even... That just pisses me off. But you know what? He's probably doing stuff for the network, too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the guy still sells merchandise and people, you know, kids still care about him. So he's got a place there.
Yeah, dude. I'm not mad at him.
I'm always a Rey Mysterio fan. I don't care what people think about him. Guy's done some justice to the business from ECW, WCW, Japan, Mexico, everywhere in between. Right. He's good in my book.
I don't dislike Rey Mysterio. I just think that he's been a way too long injury wise.
Yeah,
which makes him irrelevant to me.
Yeah, he hasn't had any major feuds lately. They could have done something with him at Sin Cara, and that hasn't happened. And, you know, especially since they have a reliable Sin Cara now, you know, they got to get some of the Mexican stuff going again.
All right. NXT ref Sean Bennett made his Raw debut on Monday night. So yeah. They're doing that transition. I heard they're going to use Drake Younger as a referee. Is that fucking terrible or what?
Yeah, I heard about that. But really, I don't know how they would use him as a wrestler in the WWE or even NXT. Like, how tall is the guy?
He can wrestle, though. He doesn't do just the deathmatch stuff. Drake Younger is a pretty well-rounded guy, no?
Regardless of how well-rounded, you know, the guy is, you know, even when Jerry Lynn was in WWE as the junior heavyweight champion, he wasn't around for long, and the guy is one of the best. Same thing for Lance Storm and a lot of guys. I know Drake Younger's been developing his personality a lot more. But I don't know. I don't know how he would fit in with WWE as it stands right now. And, you know, as we've discussed since the beginning of time, you know, it's competition is huge over there. It always is. You know, how the hell is he going to stand out from everybody else that's there?
I guess.
That's my question.
All right, well, hopefully they'll figure it out. If he's just going to be a referee, then we won't even have that problem.
Yeah.
WWE is going to be, they released this, I messaged you yesterday about this. I wrote the list down.
Yes.
We can't go over the list tonight because I want to do this pay-per-view, and I think our fans of the show and of the networks can probably have an idea of how Dave and I feel about this list. They put out a 50 top talkers list. Now, since we're dedicating next month about tag teams, this list for me, I'm pissed, and I'll read the list. I'm not gonna dissect it. But did you see the list?
No, I haven't seen the list. I can only imagine how atrocious it is.
They rated the top 50 best talkers in history, right? And yeah. I'll start with 50, and I'll go down the list, okay?
Okay.
Number 50, Scott Steiner. 49, Joel Gertner. Now, Gertner, don't even get me started. He should be in at least the top 20. Number 48, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. 47, Zeb Coulter, should be higher. 46, New Jack. 45, the Grand Wizard, Ernie Roth, he should be higher. Brian Pillman should be higher. JBL, Thunderbolt Patterson, The Miz. Kevin Sullivan's 40. Kevin wow. Sullivan is 40, Dave.
Wow.
William Regal, Taz. Stephanie McMahon, The Big Cat, Ernie Ladd. 35, Kurt Angle. Bray Wyatt, Ravishing Rick Rude, Playboy Gary Hart. The Ultimate Warrior, Michael P.S. Hayes is 30. That's a fucking travesty.
Wow.
A travesty, okay? Nick Bockwinkel, Raven, 28, travesty, one of the best talkers in the business. Jesse Ventura, Jerry King Lawler, 25, top 25, Million Dollar Man, Terry Funk, Shawn Michaels, Holly Race, Edge is better than Holly Race, and Terry Funk, okay?
Wow.
Lou Albano is 20. All right, break down this fucking list. This is terrible. 19, Triple H, 18, The Macho Man. 17. Jim Cornette is 17, Dave.
Wow.
I'm, don't get me started. CM Punk, 16. Arn Anderson's 15. Okay. Billy Graham, 14. Vince McMahon is 13. John Cena is 12. 11, wow. Jake Roberts. 10, Jericho. 9, Hogan. 8, Bobby the Brain. 7, Mick Foley. 6, Paul Heyman. They put Dusty Rhodes 5. They put Austin at 4, better than Dusty.
Wow.
3, Roddy Piper. 2, The Rock. And number 1 is Ric Flair. Your thoughts?
Well, at least they gave Ric Flair his due. You know, for me, he's possibly the number 1 guy. But I felt Hogan should have been higher. As you mentioned, Kevin Sullivan should have been higher. Brian Pillman should have been way higher than that. For guys like Cena and Triple H, these aren't guys that people are going onto YouTube to find their promos. You know, I don't really understand why they're ranked as high as they are. But at the same time, they got to maintain face with the current product. So I can only suspect that, you know, some of these guys are getting pushed up just because, keep some attention on the current product at the moment.
It's a travesty that they put Austin over Dusty. I'm good with Piper. I'm good with The Rock. I'm good with Flair. Dusty should be at least 2, even 1. I mean, Dusty and Flair, for me, is neck and neck.
Mm.
There are days where I like his better than Flair. You know how I feel about Dusty and Flair's promos anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul Heyman's not in the top 10. Guys like Mick Foley's not in the top 10. Raven's not in the top 20. Come on, dude. Are you serious? Gary Hart? Gary Hart is not in there? Double A? Like, these guys revolutionized the promo cut.
Yeah.
Like, straight up revolutionized it. And they put out a fucking tag team list, too? I'm not even touching that. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, they did the countdown show. It was on last night. And it's like the from 10 to 6, You know, it's a lot of people that deserve to be in the top 10, but the last five, I don't recall offhand, but I remember the Rock and Sock Connection was like either like 4 or 5 or something like that. It's like, are you serious? They were hardly a tag team.
You mentioned that, and I just shook my head in disgust. I'm like, this is not fair, you know?
They even gave Lay Cool honorable mention, and it's like, really? Really? I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that.
Listen.
They didn't make the top 10, but they had some sort of like honorable mention for them. It's just kind of like, I don't understand.
I know I sound like the bitter old man here, okay? And I'm not taking nothing away from guys like Edge. And I'm not taking nothing away from other guys, that like newer guys, like, you know, that made this list. But if it wasn't for the guys that I mentioned just a few seconds ago, you wouldn't be able to cut a promo the way you're cutting it.
Yeah.
You know? You posted a bunch of them the other day. It's made me smile. Because, I mean, it was like, you know, it was... I mean, come on, dude. You can't get... I'm sorry. And you... Listen, Dusty Rhodes was 300 pounds, wrestled almost 7 days a week, almost an hour a night with any guy, any top guy in that promotion.
And he didn't look like the athlete of the day.
He didn't. His, you know, his honey was a bit... It was a big. His belly is big, but... regardless...
Yeah, well, but you know, you got to take these top 10s or top 50s and all that kind of shit with a grain of salt. You know, we all have our opinions, and you know, it's a business. It's a business.
I understand.
They gotta make sure that their current product is being advertised properly, even if it's in a top 10. So.
You have a very valid point, partner. My problem with that is that there's enough guys in that run this organization that are from the old school.
Mm.
That yeah, Kid Human. Heyman was on the list. He didn't even make the fucking top 20, I don't think.
Yeah.
But either way, go to WWE.com and check it out. I'm just as pissed as you guys are. If you guys want to make your own list, make your own list.
You know, part of me wants to say that Cena and Michaels was a part of the top 10 tag teams in the countdown.
I don't understand. Like, there's enough. But guys, there are so many good guys. Like Joey Styles runs the fucking website.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Joey Styles has any creative control of what these lists are. He's a fan. Listen, they're quote-unquote, the fans vote all of this, right? I'm cool with that, too. But the fans need to be educated, man. I'm sorry. You guys need to watch these old... Go into your WWE networks and click on these old fucking cards and watch these promos.
Yeah, watch that one where Dusty Rhodes is complaining about how his credit card bill ran up $4,000 at the Marriott from Baby Doll or something like that. That was a good promo.
And what he was going to do to Baby Doll if she touched his lid. What was he gonna do to Baby Doll if he?
What was he gonna do? He was gonna slap that ass, right? Or he was gonna punch her or something.
He said, "If you touch the Thea lid, I'm gonna smack your lips to the side of your face." I'm gonna tip my hat to a Jezebel. He said,
"Yes, yeah." I just remember him flying off the handle. That she was like, "Where I come from, gentleman tips his hat to a lady," and then he flipped his lid. Tip my hat.
The best one. Every time he cut a promo about Baby Doll, that was derogatory.
Yeah,
he made David Crockett apologize to his mama, thinking that his mom was watching TBS at the time, and he didn't want to say nothing off color. That if it got back to his mom was going to be pissed off. But you can't get that no more, man.
I got to find those promos with him and the gorilla.
Oh, my God. I want to get... You know what I want to do this summer?
Dusty's monkey.
I may do it for my... Maybe we'll do it for my birthday this year. I want to do the Midnight Rider...
angle?
Yeah, dude. When he hits David Crockett with the bat, whatever the hell it was, and he... he fucking had to put the mask on, and they couldn't figure out it was him. It was just as bad as Andre being one of the machines.
Well, you know, that's the point. You know, they can't have him unmask, so he can't be banned from professional wrestling in the National Wrestling Alliance.
All right.
Even if everybody in the world knows it's him.
So I watched most of the TNA card.
It was okay, but man, it dragged.
Listen, I'm not gonna shit on TNA, and I can because this was just
you all can.
You can, and people have. and Lee, and I tell you what, I was listening to the rant last night, and Lee called in, and I got lost in my commute because I got derailed a little bit, so I made it home a little later than I normally did, and I wanted to call in and just give Lee kudos. So Lee, if you're listening, kudos to you, brother. You were on point. Lee said something last night. People didn't look for a number two promotion until the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
And people are still looking for that number two. And it's not Ring of Honor. TNA, quote-unquote, is the number two promotion. But nobody's going to hold a candle to what WWE is doing right now.
Yeah, there's a big gap between that number two spot and that number one spot.
And he said, would it be nice to have somebody pull on the coattails a little bit? Absolutely. Do you want Jarrett's promotion? I want any promotion. And I know I get a lot of shit. Eddie gave me some shit the other day. He was like, listen, man, I know you said that more wrestling on TV is good wrestling, but when it's bad, it's bad.
It is.
And he's right. To a point, he's right. I just think that my glass now at a different stage of my life is more half full than it is half empty when it comes to watching the newer stuff because I think that there's some good in everything. Here are your sacrifice results. The Wolves beat the Bromance for the titles. Anderson beat Sam Shaw in a committed match, which was a bite of the Mountie and Big Boss Man, pretty much.
Mm. There's a lot of bite-offs that night, it seems.
Willow and Kurt Angle defeated EC3 and Spud. You can buy a Willow umbrella, by the way. It's like $40 on TNA's website if you're interested.
Damn.
I know you're a big Willow fan.
Well, it was raining pretty heavy today, so.
Rain? I tell you, did you? Did you get bad flooding over there? Because Jersey got slammed.
Well, I work at the Chrysler building, so I got fucking slammed on the walk.
On the commute, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, my house isn't too far away from the train station, and I
you're lucky.
Got fried, so I was fine there.
You're lucky, all right.
So I didn't need my Willow umbrella, so.
I do enjoy EC3 and Spud. They're annoying, but they make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Sonata and Tigre Uno put on a friggin' clinic. Speaking of New Japan, I'm hearing Kenta's gone. Done with New Japan. And is it back?
Kenta's in Noah.
Not Noah. I'm sorry, not New Japan. Noah. Kenta's done with Noah. And he's coming to WWE. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. All right.
He's done with Noah. That's the rumor right now, and he's coming back. Remember he came for that tryout?
Yeah, well, there was mention that, that was his...
his swan song?
No, that was his dream, to work for WWE.
Right.
But
yeah.
He also said that it was just a tryout, he never directly said whether they accepted him or not. He just said that it was a great experience to have. So I'm guessing he probably just fulfilled his requirements with Noah, and now he's going to jump ship to WWE.
I mean, he's up there in age. He's not old, but he's old enough where he's got to do something now. It's not a thing where he's not going to sit in NXT for 2 years. He's in his mid-30s, I believe.
Yeah, this is he's got to act now, or it's now or never.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Gunner, the best match of the night, Gunner defeats Storm in an I Quit match. A lot of blood, a lot of spots. Angelina Love beat Madison Rayne for the knockout style. Nobody cares.
No.
Bobby Roode defeated Bully Ray in a tables match. Apparently Dixie Carter dressed up like a man.
Yeah, she did.
And
dressed up like, I guess like part of like the ring crew or something like that. And well, yeah. First of all, there was this phantom ref bump where
he was supposed to. The ref was supposed to get hit, and he never got hit.
It seemed like he got tapped, and then he just like flew across the ring and passed out. And just from there, fans were hardly into it. They were more vocal in the beginning when you know, Bubba Ray or Bully Ray was getting the tables, you know, so everybody got to have their little fun time quoting, you know, old quotes. And just from there, fans kind of died out, and so did the match.
All right.
And as talented as these guys are, I thought the teasing of the tables, you know, suplexing a guy on the table or whatever, you know, all the teasing, I don't know, it was just really lame. It just didn't really stand out. Like, I wasn't on the edge of my seat.
Right.
Watching this match. I was waiting for it to end.
Right.
And I think you joined in on the Facebook chat at the end of it, and the fucking feed just dropped out. So
yeah, the feed dropped out. I saw it on a download. I suppose
Those were the Eric Young match. So
yeah, Eric Young beat Magnus. Kind of saw that coming. I mean, he's not going to drop the belt right away, you know.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's pretty much it. So let's get to our Facebook questions. Take a little quick break. I got to wet the whistle, and then we'll get Tommy on the horn, and we'll get this kick-ass throwback for you guys. Again, I'm really sorry about the mishap, guys. I really didn't expect my computer to do that. I apologize for the people who were waiting and left, and to everybody. And thank you to everybody who stayed. So,
yeah.
All right, so, Dave, you got some Facebook questions for me?
Yeah, we only got two. So let's get down to it.
I know there was one on my Twitter, and I told the guy, I forgot his name already.
Aaron Jackson.
Yes, Aaron Jackson, who's Ajax on Twitter. He hit me up like right as I was getting that computer problem. So I told him, put it on a Facebook page, I'm going to forget about it. So I didn't forget about it, thank God.
Okay, so we'll start off with his. And he asked us, do you think WWE will ever introduce a world television title?
No, they probably won't, but you know how I feel about that title. It's my favorite looking title from Dave Milliken.
The NWA red.
Yes, title. Yes. A television title would be great if titles were more relevant in this current era of professional wrestling. It's not.
And if there were rules to follow. To quote the great JR, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any real rules and there's no time limits. So for them to have a television title, they would have to start reinforcing the rules a bit more, and they would have to actually enforce a time limit.
Tommy posted it in the chat room about Kenta. He wanted to take part in the training. This is Kenta, and had an opening and Noah's schedule to do so. Kenta said in the press conference that this is only one life. And it is now or never. Try something new in a different environment. Kenta's last show for Noah will be at Kurrigan Hall, the famous Kurrigan Hall, in Tokyo on May 17th. So he's definitely done after May 17th with Noah. That's his last show.
Yeah.
So what's our next question, Mr. Mega Powers?
Okay, next question is, who do you feel...
Who asked the question?
This is Scott.
Scott!
There you go. Who do you feel that is still in NXT that is ready to be promoted?
Who?
Who in NXT do you feel?
Who the fuck? Oh, man. I'm sorry, Dave. I had Skype on the other computer when I was talking to you the first time.
Okay.
So,
right. Who from NXT do you feel is ready to move up?
From NXT right now?
Yeah.
Rage, I'm sorry I hung up on you, by the way. We're not taking calls at the current moment. From NXT, huh?
Yeah, from NXT.
I would say bring Pac up. What's his name? Who's Pac? What's his name? He's the champ now. What's his name?
Yeah, Aaron.
Aaron Neville? I don't know Adrian much.
Adrian Neville.
But I know I love you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
what the hell was Aaron Neville's like big hit song?
I don't know much. The Neville Brothers,
that's
bro.
It.
They had
yeah,
a they, dude.
It.
They had a bunch of hits. His one with Linda Ronstadt was the shit, though.
Yeah,
but I know I love you. Let me be all I need to know.
See, right. I didn't even need to sing. There you go.
There you go. So that was
So Aaron Neville will be going to WWE.
Awesome. I would bring him up. So there you go,
yeah,
Scott.
I would bring him up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Corey Graves. They need to bring him. They need to bring him and Sami Zayn up.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I forgot. There's so many guys in NXT. I forgot about Sami Zayn.
I think he's been doing some dark matches too. A friend of mine went to SmackDown last week in PA, and he was doing one of the dark matches.
Yeah.
So I think they do have plans for him to come up, but I would love to see Corey Graves. He's got a good gimmick going for him, personality, look, everything.
Yeah. All right. Is that no? A little out on the questions this week, huh?
We got more Rage questions.
Rage has questions?
Yeah, he's got a three.
Pick your best one.
All right, let me read them first.
I'm going to play Scott again. Scott! Thank you. So glad I got that.
All right. I didn't see the opening of Raw, but he says, where does that opening segment rank amongst the great segments in wrestling? I'm guessing that's the Cena thing, right?
The what? Oh, the beginning?
Opening segment of Raw.
Oh, that's got to be top 10 for me.
Now, this is the whole Wyatt's with the kids, right?
Yeah, they cut a promo with the Cena's in the cage. And he's like, why? You know, why is this happening? Why are you guys rooting for them? You know, has he gotten to you? And almost like he was kind of creepy.
Okay.
Kid Human saying to refresh your page. There's four questions. Oh. I don't know what that means. I'm not looking at Facebook.
No, we picked the best rage question.
We picked the big rage question. Gotcha. Yeah.
Because yeah, he's like, asking all these goddamn all right. questions.
Let's keep the questions to like two per person because these pay-per-views take a minute sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. We're doing it running late tonight, but I gotta take a quick break though. I gotta wet the whistle and take care of some stuff. But anyway, yeah, dude. Anyway, so Cena's in the cage, and then all of a sudden the lights go out, and you hear a quiet one little girl singing, "You got the whole world in your hands," and then like the crowd singing, the lights go on. Now it's an entire choir. That's a high school choir, by the way. It sounded fantastic. And then they come down, they surround the ring, and they sing it. Then the lights go out again. The lights go back on, and they're all wearing masks. All the kids are wearing the sheet masks. And one girl sitting on his lap with the mask, and it was just creepy as hell. But it was so good, dude. So well done.
I need to see the full. I need to see the full segment because I just saw like the clips of it later on tonight.
Yeah, if you know what, why don't you during the break try to catch it while I'm playing some spots. So, all right, listen. Thank you guys for staying on. I'm gonna take a really quick break, wet the whistle, and we'll be right back. We're bringing Tommy on. And we're doing ECW's It Ain't Seinfeld from March 14th, 1998 in beautiful Queens, New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are on The Rant. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. We're going to play some spots, and we'll be right back. Hey, kids. You like the show? Do you like the logo on the show? Well, we put the logo on a T-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. And buy the shirt. The shirt is cheap, and it helps the show with original artwork by Dean Stahl. So what the hell are you waiting for? ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt!
The following is a paid advertisement from Don Tony and Kevin Castle. The self-help seminar depicted in this program may not intend to provide any such benefit.
Has wrestling become boring for you? Find yourself ashamed to talk about it amongst your peers at work? Do you often think that maybe Nancy deserved it? Hi, I'm Anthony Black, and I'm here to tell you that you may be suffering from serious wrestling dysfunction known as Russoitis. Russoitis is the leading cause of impotence in wrestling fans and has also been linked to abnormal levels of patience for obviously crappy gimmicks and angles. But don't worry, there is hope for you yet. Don Tony and Kevin Castle are here every Monday night to help you through this debilitating infliction with their deep insights and personal advice.
I could touch my entire ass.
Don Tony and Kevin Castle have literally helped hundreds of thousands of fans come to terms with their wrestling dysfunction, and they can help you too.
I'm not a retard.
But don't take my word for it. Listen to some testimonials from the people once afflicted by Russoitis.
I have been listening to Don and Tony and Kevin Castle for about 6 months now. Thanks to them, I now know more about wrestling and stuff. Me and my my boyfriend. Thank you, Don and Kev.
I've been listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle for a while now. I only started because whenever I watched wrestling, I wanted to fucking kill someone and smear their brains on a wall. Now, thanks to them, I'm in more control and at peace with some of the horrid booking I see on TV. Thank you, Don and Kev. Fuck!
So don't just sit there. Go to wrestling-news.com and take part in the cure every Monday night after Raw. Common side effects of listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle include, but are not limited to, high and low blood pressure, excessive happiness, depression, heartburn, heartworm, gonorrhea,
allergenic reactions, photogenic memory loss, blood and stool in urine, weight loss, weight gain, dilated pupils, sinus infection.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, inviting you to go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com to check out my boys, the Shining Wizards. They're four tools from Jersey. You talk about the good, the bad, the ups and downs of professional wrestling. And, of course, they always piss somebody off in the process. But they're always going to make you laugh. Check them out exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to listen to The Midnight Jury. Mike Dorenganger and Adam Henning host The Midnight Jury, a podcast that transports you back to the last old-school generation, my generation. They debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Check out The Midnight Jury on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. As soon as you're done with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, head over to RantEMRadio.com. That's right, RantEMRadio.com. We got you covered all week. You got the Rant live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You got the Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have the Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, it's What Are You Reading with the Surfer at 6 p.m. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Hold on.
Yes. All right, we're back.
Don't talk during the song, Rage. I mean, Tank.
No, he didn't know. I was trying to connect him, but he didn't answer his friggin' IM, but it's all right. Tom, you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. RantEMRadio.com is the place. As always, the Shining Wizards Network production. All right, Tommy, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Same old, same old.
All right, so I was trying to do this for a while.
You've been talking about this for some moons, many moons ago.
You know my love for ECW? It just, for me anyway, when they came to town, I think out of the dozen or two dozen shows that they did in New York, I think I missed one. Ironically, it was in Staten Island. I had, like, pneumonia. And and Tommy and the boys made me actually stay home. I was, like, a miserable bastard. But I think I only missed, like, one show they ever did back in the day when they came to New York. It was a big deal for them to come to New York because at that time they were still trying to get they had national exposure, but they were trying to get they had pay per view. They were about a year into pay per view. They tried to get a TV deal. They didn't get that until I think it was 99 or 2000 before they closed with the Nashville network.
Yeah.
And then but the thing is, when they came here, it was special. There was two spots in particular, both in Queens, New York. One was the Lost Battalion Hall, which was a like a multi-sport indoor, like almost like a, I guess, an upscale YMCA, Tommy? Would that be a more specific?
Yeah, an upscale YMCA.
Right. It was an upscale.
Did they have like a chandelier or something in there?
No. It was like, you know, it was more of a modern. It wasn't as big as a YMCA, but like they had, it was more organized.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one step down from a Parks Recreation Center.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Next door was Goldfinger's strip joint. That's where the wrestlers hung out afterwards. So.
Oh.
That was fun. And then, of course, the Elks Lodge, which was what it was, an Elks Lodge. They used to hold, you know, like those lodge meetings, like, you know, you saw in the Honeymooners back in the day, like the raccoons and shit, the raccoon clubs and, you know, the Boy Scouts and the
Kiwanis.
The Kiwanis and all that. Yeah, that's what the Elks Lodge was. There's a.
And the Freemasons.
Right, yes, exactly. All these organizations would hold their events at the Elks Lodge. Now, the Elks Lodge is a mini version of, like, the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, I always got it confused with it for a bit on the television shows, but because it looks almost exactly like the Hammerstein Ballroom, but especially they use the same camera angle.
So now, if my memory serves me right, I had owed Tommy some money. And
yeah, correct.
Yes, I owed Tommy some money. I finally came across a better job that paid me more money, and I said to Tommy, here's your choices. I can pay you back the money I owe you, which wasn't that much.
It was for comic books anyway.
Right. I could pay you back, or I can buy you a ticket to this event. So he mulled about it. He's like, okay. Let's go. So
he hesitated for an ECW show?
Well, here's the thing. You know, times are hard. People need money. I can't begrudge Tank for that. He needed the cash. I needed cash. But when ECW... our social lives came to a complete halt. Mine was a little more active than Tommy's. But it came to a halt.
Thanks.
Right, Tommy? When ECW came to town, it was like the world stopped. Like, nothing mattered. I was juggling a couple of girlfriends. I'm not going to lie to you, Tommy.
Juggling?
Right, exactly. So, the girls, like, it all comes to a stop. ECW's coming to town. So,
yeah, sorry, honey, I can't come over. ECW's in town.
Exactly. And ironically, I had some prime tail. And I'm not bragging, but Tommy was like, listen, why don't you take your girlfriend? I'm like, fucking kidding me? She's not going to. How would she appreciate this? She's not going to appreciate this, dude. You're the only person right now that's A.
And I still am.
Right. Insane enough to go with me on a fucking. It was like a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, right? It was Thursday?
It was Thursday because it was the same night as Seinfeld.
It was Seinfeld. Yeah. I mean, hey.
So to Seinfeld.
Right. So. I'll never forget, it was a very warm day. It was May 14th of 98, and it was the last episode of Seinfeld. I've never seen Seinfeld. Tommy, are you a fan of Seinfeld?
Only for the Keith Hernandez episodes.
But you watched it back in the day or no?
On and off.
So you were a fan. You knew who all the characters were and stuff, though, right?
Yeah, on and off, yada, yada, yada stuff.
Right, so I was not. I had no fucking clue. So we didn't know it was called that until we got there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it was we. First of all, if anybody's been to an ECW show, it's general admission. Unless you bought a ringside seat, it's all general admission. Same way with the indie shows, do it now.
Really, it's general admission. Like the first row seats and all that, they weren't
only the ringside seats. The seats behind it, second, third row, they were all general admission.
Even balcony,
general admission.
Wow!
And wasn't there standing room only seats? Standing room only for this event too?
Well, yes, because there was a high demand, and they made like a bit of a barrier. I don't know how they got away with this shit because we definitely broke the fire hazard in this place.
Paid the fire department.
Yeah, dude, we definitely broke the fire hazard codes in this fucking building. No joke. So. I tell Tommy we should get there a little early, And Tommy, actually Tommy's idea, if I, remind me if I'm wrong, Tank, just remind me. I think it was your idea we should sit in the balcony. Because the the balcony, they always pan the camera on the balcony. Always. So he was like, let's sit in the balcony. All right, sit in the balcony. Even though we got there 2.5 hours early, and we, I'm glad we got there early, because Tommy's going to tell you a story about New Jack. Yeah, dude, this is fantastic. So we get there, and now, of course, everybody's online screaming, hollering. Some of the wrestlers make their way in. Tommy,
spikes hanging the sign.
Dude, why don't you tell the story? Because you tell it so eloquently. So you tell the story.
Okay, we get there. We get off the shitty bus. And we're walking up. We're strutting. We're profiling. Like we know what the hell we're doing.
Well, we did. It was the Q58, but we had to walk 30 feet. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but anyway.
All right.
So we get there. We line up. All of a sudden, we see I see Spike Dudley hanging the ECW banner.
Awful. Now, you have to explain.
LSD.
You have to explain to Dave what he was doing. You can't just say he was hanging a banner. The.
Oh, he was part of the ring crew, wasn't he?
He was.
Spike Dudley was part of the ring crew.
He was spanking new at this point.
Okay.
Ultra
new.
Now you can. Yeah. Now the Elks Lodge, the second floor. You could make your way out to the front if you had access to the front of the building. People, you could hang out, like the wrestlers were hanging out on the balcony, like on the second floor while everybody was downstairs waiting to get in.
Mm.
So Spike comes out in the middle of the afternoon and just hangs the fucking banner over the balcony. And the fans go, it was like a near riot. People were screaming, yelling. There was some police, the 108, the 108th precinct. They had some cars lined up because it was like, it was a controlled chaos. It was like people were there making noise. It was fun,
just
you know?
Just because the dude was putting up a banner.
Well, the people started going crazy. They started chanting. So now it's the middle of the day. It's fucking Thursday. It's rush hour traffic. You're on Queens Boulevard, which is the hub to two major bridges, all the expressways, the highways, and everything else, if you know the five boroughs. Now people, you know, residents and businesses, they all hear this. They call a cop. So now the cops are on the block. People are chanting ECW, ECW. And now there's this banner, right, Tommy?
Yeah. And then he hangs that banner. They're popping like little schoolgirls.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was me or you that caught New Jack going in the back.
Yeah.
But I think it was you because you said, "Hey, New Jack." And I swear to Christ, it was like Norm from Cheers started.
Yeah, he looked at me and goes, "Oh, what up there, nigga? What's up, big man? What's going on, man? You alright? You alright?" And then some dude looked his way as he was talking to me. He goes, "What the fuck you looking at, man? I'm talking to my man right here." So
apparently, that almost started a riot.
So New Jack and I, again, we're not friends. He doesn't know me. Probably doesn't even remember him talking to me, but he knows me from at the shows, obviously, and he would talk to me. And so he...
Well, you're his nigga, so...
Apparently. So I was, he sees that, he sees me, he initiates this conversation. So I'm bullshitting with him, and he looked down the block, and he mentioned, I forget what his exact words were, he was like, "This motherfucking loud, big crowd tonight, man, it's going to be a big show tonight." So in the wrestlers, you know, ECW, pretty much, to their credit, had the greatest locker room in terms of the guys who want to perform for the bigger crowds. Because you have to understand something. They didn't have a big... They didn't pack out arenas.
No.
You know? They're doing gymnasiums and, like, you know...
Bingo halls.
Bingo halls. And they're doing...
Church basements.
Church basements, conference centers, and, like, you know, sports complexes like what PWS does.
Yeah.
This event still drew more than 2 years' worth of TNA house shows.
3,000 people. And like Tommy mentioned a couple of minutes ago, they made a standing room only. Atlas Security was their security. And they had a barrier down by ringside for people for standing room only. Like they set up a section behind chairs. That's how big it was, dude. There was no, you know. So that's pretty much it with that. So let's get into the card. Like Tommy said, 1,000 people, Elks Lodge. It ain't Seinfeld.
Crowd charting off. Would they start off with like a Seinfeld sucks dick chant?
Yeah. So,
which was awesome. It's funny to me that nowadays, especially some of the guys listening in now, that they don't, you know, they either didn't watch ECW when it came out, you know, whether it's, you know, wasn't playing in their country or, you know, they just didn't know about it then. But man, it was just like the wildness of the crowd, you know, chants like that. Like, this wasn't happening anywhere else.
No, and this was Tommy's first rodeo at ECW.
Yeah, really.
We went to two more at that, I believe.
Three more.
Three more, two more, three more. And I did bring my girlfriend to one of the girlfriends to one of them, and it was all right, but it was like whatever. It was like a third wheel because like, we were sitting there bullshitting. You know, again, unless your girl's into it, like I can bring my wife now because she's into it. But if you bring in a girl who's not into it, they're like, you know. But anyway.
Like a wet dish rag.
Like a wet dish rag, exactly.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, your first match of the evening was a Barnstormer of a match.
Hell of an opening match.
The new effing show, Mr. Jerry Lynn, Mr. JL, if you will. One of his many.
According to the ring announcer, he was the Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamic. He was Dynamic.
Yeah, Dynamic, Jerry
Dynamic.
Lynn.
Fucking, forget it. Hold on a minute. OSX Mavericks. You know what? Fuck you, Apple. Want to show me my new operating system. Eat a dick. Oh, I hate this fucking computer. But I love the sound it puts out, so. Anyway, Dynamic Jerry Lynn fighting the newcomer, Justin Credible. We know Justin Credible from, you know, our network. Justin Credible, Pro Wrestling 101. Shout out to PJ, by the way.
Aldo Montoya.
What's that, Tank?
Dave said it already.
Aldo Montoya?
The Portuguese man of war with the jockstrap over his face.
One of the best matches I've seen on ECW, period, as you know, attending a live event. This was a fantastic opening match. ECW always comes correct with the opening matches.
Yeah, but who is his valet? I keep on forgetting who his valet was.
It was Jason, the sexiest man alive.
And Chastity,
and
right?
Chastity, yeah.
Yeah.
Chastity wound up going to WCW, didn't she?
Yeah, with Raven.
Raven and the Flock and all that shit, right?
Well, that was when they had that very brief and very strange program with Raven, like saying that he was just a rich kid and, you know, just being a depressed rich kid, and it was kind of stupid and didn't go anywhere.
So Chastity was not very nice on the eyes in person either.
I bet she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. Not at all. Tank, the crowd was hot for this.
Oh, you wouldn't believe.
Dude, it was, I mean, you see it on the video, and I just sent Dave the video copy of it. I mean, the crowd was hot, period. But for an opening match, this was fantastic.
They treated this match like it was almost the last match on the card.
Yeah, it could, I mean, this could have been a main event anywhere else. Clearly.
And they went all out for this one.
Yeah, it was a 5-star match. Justin Credible's on a roll at this point.
Yeah, he was racking up the victories, but he didn't pull it off this night.
No, Jerry Lynn gets the win, but they had a best of, this was like a best of three at one point.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, and they finished it up with the next call, which I think was a matter of respect or something like that. I have to redo my ECW history. Speaking of ECW history, if anybody has $1,500 they want to lend me, go to turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. We could buy all their videos, master copies, VHS copies of their entire video collection.
Get the Kickstarter going.
No, we need a Kickstarter for the website. We don't need any priorities.
Yeah. We do both at the same time.
We can. That's a lot of work, Dave. I still got to do those DVDs, too. There's a lot of shit going on this summer. All right.
I'll help you out. You gave me a DVD burner. I can we can split the duties.
Okay. I thought it was a great match. Tommy, you thought it was a great match?
Yeah, I thought it was one of my top 5s.
Yep, Jerry Lynn gets the win. Dave,
it's like best match of the night, in my opinion.
It was the best match of the night.
Along with the main event. Main event was it wasn't like technically as good as this, but we'll get into that later. But you know, just like the somersault plunges into the crowd. Fucking fans loved it when they were mixing it up in the crowd at ECW shows.
Yeah,
Dave, you didn't like the Candido match.
Candido match with Jamie Dundee. Was good too.
We'll get into that in a second. Let's do one match at a time. Let's not jump to it. We got, you know.
I enjoyed the She Has Anal Warts chant that was going on through the Jerry Lynn Just Incredible match too.
Oh, for Chastity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing but anal warts for her. Nothing but the best for her.
Yeah.
So Sabu takes advantage of a very young Danny Doring at this point. Danny Doring was one of the him, Roadkill, Chris Chetty,
Judge
Jeff Jones. They were all graduates of the House of Hardcore, which was Taz's wrestling school in Long Island.
Which I think there was only that one class.
Right. So those guys would have and Danny Doring was cutting his teeth, and he gets to fight the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal maniac himself, Mr. Sabu. Tommy, do you remember the table spot they set up for him?
Vaguely. The only reason why I don't probably remember it is because with Sabu, it's like one match was always the same. It was always the same chair or table spots for me.
He beats Danny Doring with a camel clutch, but there's a couple high spots. Sabu always came correct with the tables and the chairs and all that nonsense. Danny Doring just took a beating. There's really not much offense from him. It's kind of like a filler match, if you will.
But didn't Sabu jump like from like the one of the rows and then right?
Yeah, from the railing, he went into the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Dave, anything on? You want to add anything on the Sabu match?
It was just more or less. It was just a squash match. He just tore Danny Doring a new asshole during this, and got the win.
Pretty much, you got to cut your teeth. All right.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
So Jamie Dundee comes out to jump around. Wolfie D from PG-13 and also from the Nation of Domination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jamie Dundee is the son of wrestling great Bill Dundee.
Superstar
Bill Dundee of Memphis fame. Jamie Dundee comes out, cuts a silly promo about how he hates Yankees.
But he went on for a while.
Yes, he draws huge heat from the crowd. He draws huge heat from the crowd, says he has to wrestle someone from the Triple Threat, and said that the three-finger symbol is how many fingers he can fit into Francine.
Oh, my God.
All right, so, of course, Back in Black music. Back in Black.
I got a question for you guys. Were any of you one of the guys that mooned Jamie Dundee from the balcony?
No, but at the next show, I got fucking accused of mooning Bubba Ray Dudley. There was a dude that was like 200 pounds heavier than me. He was like 500, 600 pounds, and he mooned Bubba. So when I went to buy my at that time, ECW sold their tickets at like comic book stores and car.
Or De Blasey Ford.
And De Blasey Ford. So I went out to De Blasey Ford and I bought my ticket. So it's Bubba Ray, Buell, and Tommy Dreamer. So Tommy, the professional, gets up, goes over to the line. We're all waiting in line. Shakes everybody's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's online, Tommy shakes their hands. How are you? Hey, how are you? I remember you. What's going on? He introduces Buell to everybody. So now I get to the front of the line, and fucking Bubba Ray's got a box of cannolis from Baldi's in Corona, which is not even there anymore. It's one of the best fucking bakeries ever. They closed down. So he's got this big fucking box of cannolis, right? And he's eating the cannolis, fat bastard. He looks up at me, and he looks up, he goes, and he's like a fucking powder over his face. And he's like, oh, he says, you're the fucking guy. So Tommy looked at me, and I looked at Bubba, and he's like, what? Tommy's like, what? This the fucking guy that mooned me at the fucking show. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you fucking mooned me, asshole. I'm like, I didn't pull my pants down for you. And I said that, and Buell started fucking laughing. I'm going to pull my pants down for you, I said to him. Why, what's wrong? He goes, what's wrong with me? I'm like, there's a lot wrong with you. He goes, all right, you want a cannoli? I'm like, no. So that was pretty funny. So, no, we were not mooning people. That was actually the corner that, where they had the camera. Tommy and I were at the direct right of that, I believe, because how ECW worked was they took a major card from whatever month they had it, and they would make four episodes on television out of it. So I think one of the shows, we were actually on the video. We just have to look and see where the camera panned, and we have to look, you have to go through it. But we're definitely on a video. I'm on most of the videos in Philly, too, which is pretty cool.
And you can hear us in WrestleMania 20.
Oh, yeah, you can hear us at WrestleMania 20. That's pretty funny, too, but that's not tonight, Tommy. We're doing ECW. Get your priorities straight.
Yeah. Right. But it's all the same company it's now.
Not, it is all the same company. So,
you're mooning anybody over at WrestleMania 20?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to moon somebody with my old man and one of our best friends.
Have you seen the size of him? I don't want him to moon anybody.
I don't know. For all I know, all of you guys could have been mooning people.
No. We're not the skinniest of people. I'm not pulling my pants down unless I'm getting paid for it. Anyway, Back in Black, the music hits AC/DC. Chris Candido looks so good at this point, man. He was fucking jacked. Comes out with Francine. Dundee tells Francine to drop the zero, get with the hero, because Chris Candido has seen sunnier days. Duh. The match was good, though. Jamie Dundee, not the snazziest of dressers. He looked like he was a fucking skateboarder with the fucking, with the mullet.
He was, like, all over the place.
Yeah, he was a hot mess.
Yeah.
But, good worker. He was a good worker. The match was good. A couple of spots, a couple of nice suplexes, top rope stuff. Candido does hit Dundee, though, with a flying headbutt for the win.
Yeah, which is great. I love when you get just like an old school, you know, finish. Even though, like, the headbutt pin, you know, Bigelow was getting that in ECW and stuff like that. But it was just nice to see that. You know, Candido always had some great finishing moves, whether it was that or the powerbomb off the top rope.
Yeah.
Great wrestler.
Right.
And I'm sad that he's gone.
What's up, Tommy?
Didn't we start that skip chant?
Oh, yes, that's right. We started a Body Donna's chant.
Oh, God.
It was pretty funny because we picked up momentum and people started looking up because we had, like, there was two of us, then four of us, then about 10 of us started doing it. And then the fucking crowd looked up from below us and they started chanting.
They got in on it.
Yeah, it was really good. You know what? ECW fans are the best because, I mean, the chants were terrible. I mean, you can't bring your kids to these things. You couldn't anyway back in the day. And when you did, you had a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
So, that's right, Tommy. We did start the skip chant. Anything else rings a bell to you with this match, particularly, Tommy, you know?
No, just like you said, with the Francine stuff, with him mentioning the three fingers insert gig, I think we both laughed about that.
God, that was great. I mean, that was a good promo. That was one of the best promos of the night. Well, it wasn't. It was the best promo of the night until Taz came out. We'll get into that in a minute.
Tommy,
never mind. We'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Supernova and the Blue Meanie.
The BWO.
You heard that in the t-shirt promo, by the way. We're selling t-shirts. Yeah. Go buy a shirt.
Buy the shirt.
You too, Tommy. Buy a shirt, you cheap fuck.
They've started making tops?
Where's my fucking... Dude, I left the bell. I got a brand new bell. Dave, get your bell.
I got my bell.
Can you ring it, please? Thank you. I'll have the bell next week, I promise. It's in my car.
Still in your car?
It's still in my car. Christ on a cracker. All right.
That far. It's right outside.
I know. Meanie and Nova fight the FBI, Little Guido and Tracy Smothers.
With the newly elected president of Italy.
That's right. The big Don Tommy Rich, who's awesome, by the way. As Tommy Rich requested a dance-off between Tracy Smothers and the Blue Meanie.
I love that they had the fucking Italian flag with his face on it, and the flag started falling off of the pole.
That flag, dude, his personal flag, never stayed on the pole. No matter what match you saw him in, no matter what city they were in, that flag was doomed to fall.
Wow.
For some reason.
It was always like they forgot to clip it on.
Yeah.
This was done on purpose.
It might have been done on purpose, because it was so well done. This was one of my favorite angles of all time, actually.
Wow.
If you give me, like, a top 10 funniest gimmicks or groups of all time, this is in my top 10.
Yeah, there was only one, like, legit Italian guy, and you had these fucking rednecks, Tommy Rich and Tracy Smothers involved, and it was gold. But it all started with Little Guido with J.T. Smith, the black wrestler of all people to claim Italian.
I was at the infamous bump that he took outside the ring that turned him into an Italian-American.
From Mike Awesome, right?
No, he fought Hack Myers and went to do a plunge outside the ring, and his foot got caught in the top rope, and he fucking fell face first into the floor and had a big bumping knot on his head.
Oh, man.
It was like 95. It was like Heat Wave 95 or something like that. I forget. If you guys remember.
He always had some like bad shit happening to him.
So he had a bad bump. So they played off the bump. Like, he was concussed. He had like a huge knot in his head. He finished the match. He went to the hospital.
Wow.
And then like the next week on TV, he was singing like Dean Martin songs and shit. we were big fans of the Blue World Order. They were great. FBI was great. At one point, the FBI shoved referee Germano, and so he beat them up. Jeff Jones gets involved. He winds up beating a DDT from John Finnegan because Germano is knocked out. And everybody gets up, and just it was like a big clusterfuck.
Yeah.
All right.
Nova hits him with the Nova cane onto Guido.
Onto Guido, and gets the win.
Yeah.
All right, your next match, Balls Mahoney versus
Lance Storm.
Lance Storm from Calgary. Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada. They went for some mat wrestling in the beginning, but the crowd crapped on it totally.
Yeah, they were the
crapped
ring chants, and
I was being nice.
We want blood.
Yeah, we want blood. We chanted, "This match sucks." fuck you, Balls, or something. Anyway.
I think I went out for a pretzel during this match.
You most certainly did. Tommy went out for a pretzel.
It just goes to show, you know, if the go-to-the-bathroom pretzel match is fucking Lance Storm and Balls Mahoney, then, like, you can't go wrong with ECW.
Tommy goes out for a pretzel. I stay for the match. And so they did, you know, they seemed to... This was a very good match to the last minute or so. Lance hits Balls in the head with an unprotected chair shot. Now, I say unprotected chair shot because I don't think Balls was expecting it.
Mm.
Like, if you look at it a certain way, like, it looks like Balls Mahoney was like, uh-oh. And, like, he turned into it, and I don't think, like, Lance gave him a heads up and he was going to crack him with the fucking chair. Because, let's face it, Balls Mahoney is the king of the chair shots at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was expecting Lance Storm to come full correct with that, man. He connected and knocked him the fuck for a loop.
Yeah.
And Balls totally no-sold it. He was supposed to knock him for a loop, and Balls totally fucking no-sold it.
Yeah, I came running out with the pretzel in my hand, and everybody's chanting, "He got knocked out!"
But he really didn't, because he didn't sell it. So Lance wound up on the top rope, went for a missile drop kick to the chair that Balls was holding into Balls' head for the finish. But the camera angle, when you watch it, made it clear that the chair did not even make any contact with Balls anyway at second shot. So, there you go. So now we're halfway into the card. Joey Styles comes back in the ring and introduces and welcomes all of us to ECW in Queens, New York. And you could tell Joey, being a New Yorker, was very, very... What's that, Tommy?
We gave him some love.
Oh, dude. Joey Styles got choked up.
Mm.
Like, legit. He was lumped up in the throat. Where they didn't... What you don't see, and this is... And Tommy's my witness.
Yep.
What you don't see is the camera, before they went live, we chanted for a good 2 minutes solid. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, so Joey Styles went, oh, my God. But when he did it, he was a bit lumpy.
Mm.
Bit lumpy in the throat. He was very, very happy that the New York crowd was hot for the ECW, and he was very happy to be in Queens.
Because he's from Queens, right? Or...
He's a New Yorker. I don't know what borough he's from, but...
Okay.
But we could definitely look into that.
Yeah.
So now, what people don't know is, I am a huge Taz fan. Loved Taz, interacted with him several times, got to meet him, loved his work, loved his promos, loved his gimmick, loved everything about Taz.
Went to Frankie K. Lane.
Went to my high school. Like me, born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. You know, we hung out in the same areas, and it was like a, even though he's 10 years older than me, you know, I had a connection to him because he sounded like he was from New York, and it felt like everything he did was genuine. Even though he's not like a legit tough guy, all his judo stuff was legitimate, and he was a good athlete and a really good shit talker, and not bad in the ring. So, with that being said, Joey Styles welcomes all of us to ECW. He starts to say something, was interrupted by Taz's music. Taz comes out, and the crowd goes bananas.
Erupts.
Yeah.
Especially at that time, man, he was so over. Anything the guy did or said was a big deal.
Taz had just dropped the World Television Championship to Bam Bam Bigelow, I believe. They had that big match in Asbury Park prior to this in Bigelow's hometown.
That was Living Dangerously, right?
Right, yes. I wish Otto was here. Otto can chime in on this. Because me and Otto talk about this all the time. But at this point, I can't sit down. I'm beside myself. Taz comes out and says he's – because –
Well, like a Catholic schoolgirl.
Yeah. Yeah, I was marking out like a bitch. I'm not even going to lie to you. I can't even deny it. Tommy was with me the whole time.
Mm.
Taz says that because he beat up and injured the world champion Shane Douglas at the time, he deserves to be ECW world champion. And as such, made his own championship belt. So he will no longer be the uncrowned champion. Taz tells us, you can call this the Brooklyn World Belt or the Fuck the World Heavyweight title. You can call anything you want. Taz pulls out an orange belt,
which we both popped over.
The entire crowd went crazy because the belt was gorgeous.
Mm.
Gold plate.
It was like a ripoff of the Winged Eagle belt, right?
A little bit, but it had an ECW. Yeah. It had the ECW markings on it.
FTW logo.
Yeah, it said Fuck the World on it.
Yeah.
And it had one plate that said Brooklyn on it. So, Taz challenges Shane Douglas title versus title. Let's do this. He's like, Brooklyn versus Pittsburgh. Let's fucking do this.
He said there's no way a pussy from Pittsburgh could beat a man from Brooklyn.
That's right. And the crowd went ballistic. But Shane Douglas did not come out. Bam Bam Bigelow came out instead. Bam Bam says that the only way Taz is going to get Douglas is to go through him. And they had a short brawl, which took all the referees and several very large men from Atlas Security to break this up.
Even the Don West lookalike.
Be dialing, people! Be dialing!
Jim and Ten.
And you get a McGuire rookie card in Sosa. Anyway.
before you get rookie. Into the...
Go ahead, Tom.
Before you get into the Bigelow match... I'm looking into the chat room.
Yeah.
West Coast Pop Lock Robocop.
Yep.
That black, greasy black tatted rag on his head.
Was a towel.
Cut up towel.
Yeah, it was a towel with Taz had a dojo. Well, he called the House of Hardcore. He had a dojo. And the towels were ripped up, shredded on purpose. And it was... And some of them had embroidered a big orange T on them. He never sold them. It was just for him. Yeah. But that was awesome.
They were free?
No. He never gave them out or anything. But, like, that was one of my things. I would love to have one of those towels. He would cut the promos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He would cut the promos and, you know, that would be it. All right. So your next match was the TV title match. Rob Van Dam versus Mikey Whipwreck. Lots of good hardcore stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
Fonzie getting involved. RVD was a showboat. Even stole some of Sabu's moves because that was like they had like this little thing going on at the time, him and Sabu.
The tit for tat.
Right.
Is this when they, was this leading up to the Matter of Respect match?
Yes, it was. Yes, indeed it was. RVD sets up a triple jump move to put Mikey through a table in the same place Sabu had done his earlier. But Sabu came out and stopped him. And then put Mikey to the table himself. This led to an RVD Sabu fighting. Candido comes out to help Sabu, and then Lance Storm comes out to help RVD. Locker room empty. They break up the fight. It's a good build up for their tag match at A Matter of Respect.
Love my RVD matches.
Yeah, RVD was good, man.
Yeah, I love that Russian leg sweep into the guardrail he did to Mikey Whipwreck.
All right. Your next match was Tommy, you just spoke about Bam Bam Bigelow, fighting Axel Rotten. Not really a great match. It was like almost like a filler match.
Yeah, it was quick.
Not for me.
Why?
I love Bigelow.
He's one of my favorites. You kidding me?
Big nasty bastard.
He was fucking fantastic, Scott Charles, Bam Bam Bigelow. Axel went for a chair shot. Bam Bam ducks and hits the greetings from Asbury Park, and that was the whole match. So we were disappointed because we wanted to see Bam Bam fight, but we really didn't get to see him fight.
Yeah.
Right. So this sets up your main event. Now,
God, it took them like a half hour to fucking start this match.
Right. So, Tommy, you remember the promo, right?
Oh.
The Dudley's promo?
They got into the ring and they started shit. I like Bully Ray back then, but Jesus Christ.
If there was anybody who generated more heat in ECW,
Bully Ray.
It was Bubba Ray and D-Von. Absolutely. They were the... And I spoke to Joel Gertner about this at Legends of the Ring last year, and I hope to do it again this year. He was so cool. Joel Gertner sat with Dave and I. He was so nice. And I said to him, you know, how much fun was it with these guys? You know, and he was like, it was fantastic. Best time of his life, he said. So, all right. Standard Dudley stuff. They invite the fans to fight them. For viewers at home, drags off way too long. I think it dragged on.
What about it, though?
What's that?
Well, listen, there was one dude who jumped from the balcony trying to get into the ring.
Well, I was gonna get to that. It always gets a great reaction. Maybe too good of a reaction because the fans littered the ring all the time with trash before the main event when even started.
Got rid of my pretzel wrapper.
Dudley's. This was infamous, actually. They go to the fan. They said, "Come on, come in the fucking ring." And the kid ran into the ring from the balcony, from directly across from us, on the other side of the balcony. The dude went to get in the ring, and they fucking pummeled him.
Yeah, they got him out of there quick.
So the baby faces come out because the Sandman takes an hour and 10 minutes. Sandman has the longest intro.
Pretty much go through the entire Metallica Enter Sandman song when he comes out.
Yeah, Tommy's like, play Sandman for me for tonight. I'm like, yeah, and then I was like, I'm only playing like 2 minutes of it. Cause it's
2 minutes of the 10 minutes of it.
Right, exactly. And I took an instrumental for him, so he got that. So, again, Sandman, The Undertaker, are neck and neck in intros. You know, it takes him forever. There's beer involved, actually. At one point, Tommy did a spot where the beer pours onto Bueller's rack. He'd rather drink it himself. He invites Spike Dudley to do the same thing. After this happens, Tommy pretends he's masturbating. So I guess Tommy likes to watch Bueller bang other dudes, I guess. I don't know. This puts the origins of Raven versus Dreamer into a feud into a whole new perspective. Tommy didn't turn Bueller down at summer camp because she was fat. He turned Bueller down because she would have go sex with Raven instead of Tommy, so Tommy could hide and watch, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So your main event was the Dudleys with Sign Guy and Joel Gertner versus the Sandman, Spike Dudley, and Tommy Dreamer with Bueller. So.
I thought it was Big Dick Dudley.
No.
Yeah, it was Big.
Big Dick was in the match, but he wasn't.
He was with the Dudleys.
Yeah, he was with Dudleys, right.
Lil Spike Dudley was with Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer and Sandman, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, there's like a 2.5 minutes with both teams in the corners, Tommy and D-Von in the ring as legal men doing nothing, you know, standing around, circling each other. Finally, the lockup. 17 minutes later, actually, I timed it. After the first team come out, I had, you know, at this point, people just giving up. But, I mean, you know, the crowd's hot, so, like, you know, Sandman grabbed the mic, cracked a fat joke of Bubba. I want some action, blah, blah, blah. At this point, we started doing This Is Boring chants. another lockup, a knee by Devon, a couple, you know. Spike and Bubba did some very good things, big man, little man stuff.
Yeah, but just got like very like basic for this match compared to everything else that happened this night.
So Bubba then gets tagged out to Big Dick Dudley. Spike, he gained momentum against Bubba Ray, fled into fear of Big Dick and tagged in the Sandman. Instead, he wanted no part of Big Dick Dudley. Pastor Sadell's in the chat room. Happy birthday to Pastor Sadell. His birthday's tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Pastor.
So
he turns 42, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yep. All right. Well, happy birthday, brother. I'm right behind you. Tommy's right behind you, too. All right. Let's see.
What do you want? What do you want? Hey, slow down.
We want me to tell you. Was there any high spots to talk about? I mean, was there anything? I mean,
not for me.
No, well, I mean, Beulah got Bubba, Devon, Big Dick, and Sign Guy in a tree of woe and gave them all drop kicks with chairs. That was cool.
Yeah.
I think we were popping more for Beulah than anything else.
Yeah, because Beulah was good.
She was a penthouse pet.
She was. Gertner got in the ring and challenged Beulah to fight him. Doing a hilarious Ric Flair impression, by the way. They lock up, and Gertner forces a kiss on her. And Tommy does nothing about this.
Again, like he's sitting there just waiting to knock one out.
Right. Takes care of Gertner with a low blow in the DDT, and then once Gertner's already been taken down by a 115-pound woman, Tommy and Sammy attack him. The heels save Gertner, and Big Dick pin Spike with the total penetration.
Nah.
That was Big Dick's finisher. And then after the match,
it's just kind of like a choke slam, like powerbomb kind of deal.
Yeah, they got some heat after the match. They got some good heat on the baby faces. Start hitting Sandman with his own cane, and then New Jack's music hits.
We love that.
And the crowd goes crazy. New Jack, by the way, has the third longest ring entrance next to Undertaker and Sandman. He lets the whole Natural Born Killers play.
Well, his intro goes into the match and after the match.
Right. So the music's playing on repeat. Completely no-sells the low-blow weapon by Bubba. After all the heels are down, Gertner, who must have been looking for a death wish, gets in the ring to challenge New Jack. Now, if you remember, New Jack had just beaten up the Dudleys by himself. So Joel Gertner, who's a nice guy, very unathletic ring announcer, who already eaten a low blow in a DDT so far in this match, gets in the ring and faces New Jack. Sandman grabs Gertner, restrains him, so he can't prevent New Jack from hitting him with a guitar. And that was pretty much it, man. So, I mean, that was, it wasn't too bad of a main event, but it was a night out, man. It was a night out in Queens.
Yeah, it served its purpose.
Yeah. One of our...
It was a fun night.
It was a fun night. You know, I want these organizations to stop Extreme Rising and fucking...
Well, that went under.
Hardcore Road Trip. Yeah, stop. You beat a dead horse, you get glue eventually.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. That's pretty much it. You know? But that was ECW, Hardcore Wrestling back in the day. That was It Ain't Seinfeld.
The original.
It Ain't Seinfeld, baby. March 14th, 1998. Me and Big Tank were in attendance.
Seinfeld sucks a dick.
Yeah, I mean, hey, why do I have to get blood on my clothes? You know, why does this Kramer look like a herb? You know? But that was it.
That's coming from somebody that didn't ever saw the show.
Well, Seinfeld's a big fucking Mets fan, so he's always
Oh, he's always in the booth. He's worse than Kina.
The dude's got his own fucking suite in City Field, brother. Did you know that?
I bet he does.
Yeah, he does. I saw it on one of those Bleacher Report websites or whatever the hell it was. Dude's got his own fucking suite. He's got buku money, man. Not funny, but, you know, nice guy, apparently. So.
Hey.
What's up, Tommy? And you, go ahead, add your 2 cents there, Chico.
2 cents?
Whatever. You got the floor, man. So any closing comments before we let you go and close the show up? Because I almost ruined the show tonight.
You didn't ruin the show, please.
Dude, don't get me started.
Anything you got to say to anybody right now, Tank?
You got closing comments?
Free forum.
Well, we'll keep the Tony, the Toby Schiavone stuff off.
Yeah, we're done with that. We don't talk about that anymore. Any closing comments about ECW? Any WWE stuff that's bothering you? You want to gripe about TNA?
Oh, let's go. You want me to gripe? We'll gripe.
Well, give me a quick gripe, and then we'll let you go.
Is the drizzling shits?
Okay.
Tell us something new, Tank.
Okay. This new Global Wrestling Federation, what I'm going to call TNA Lite.
TNA Lite. It's the Arnold Palmer Lite. Go ahead.
Yeah, they've got a working agreement with AAA now, I'm reading.
Well, yeah, Jarrett was their champion for like 17 times, so yeah, that makes sense.
They NXT released it, four people, one of them being Guerrero's daughter.
Yep. Shaw Guerrero's gone. They released Mason Ryan and a couple other guys, right?
Yeah, Batista Light.
Batista Square.
So TNA is going to get all the injured WWE wrestlers.
I don't know. Just about. Honestly, I don't want to talk shit about Jarrett's promotion until it comes out because we don't know where they're going with it. We don't know what GFW is going to do. Any of that shit.
I don't know. I have a strong feeling it's just another case of a guy who just didn't learn his lesson the first couple times. You know.
Right. And TNA's thought in their own evolution with MVP, Kenny King, and Lashley.
Black Evolution.
Oh, Black Evolution. I hate Bobby Lashley, dude. I don't have a problem with MVP. I love Kenny King. Kenny King's awesome.
Who's the other black guy?
Bobby Lashley. I hate Bobby Lashley. He's terrible, dude. He's terrible.
This is not going to bode well for
one of his MMA matches, even if he went that far.
I just don't. He doesn't do anything for me, man. He's like, it's. I don't know. I don't know. I have nothing to say about it. Tommy, anything else before we let you go?
Nope. Why don't you go pay the bills?
Let's pay some bills. Tommy, thank you for coming on tonight. Dave and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tank.
And I guess hopefully we'll see you soon. We got to get you in studio soon, man. Maybe for
Revolution.
Yeah, we'll get you in studio soon. We got to get you do some more shit with you.
Yeah, I got to get my shyness over and just get on that goddamn ferry.
Yeah, man. Get on the boat. Come over, man. You're more than welcome. Anytime.
Come on down from Ellis Island.
That's right. Ellis Island, you're a dick.
Fuck you, Dave. All right. Go pay some bills, huh?
Good night, Tank.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.
Anyway. All right, Mega Powers. It's been a rough night. I apologize again to everybody in the chat room.
But, you know, it ain't Seinfeld. That's all I got to say.
It ain't Seinfeld. It is a Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
What's up with all this wrestling?
I mean, hey.
Both these Negroes in Evolution.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's not nice, David. What's wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
What? Goddamn bunch of black guys in a fake Evolution.
All right, before we start plugging the shows
what
and everything
is up
else.
With that? I don't understand.
Before we start plugging the shows and everything, just a quick programming note. The Rant is celebrating their one-year anniversary tomorrow. Rant EM.
Rant 1 year in the making.
Yeah, but they've been doing this for a while, but the AA's network is a year old, and they're doing the Revelation tomorrow. So tune into the Rant tomorrow night.
Revelation?
Yeah, Revelation tomorrow. It's live May 1st at 8 p.m. And coverage for WWE Extreme Rules will be this Sunday at 7 p.m. I'm actually going to try to jump on with that. I don't know if you're around. Maybe you might want to jump on that too.
I'll be watching. I'll probably pop in.
Pop in, say what's up to the boys. New Shining Wizard stuff this week. Go check it out. New episode came out yesterday. New Neckbreaker, new Pro Wrestling 101. Surfer's going to have a really good What Are You Reading this Sunday because it's National Free Comic Book Day. Mikey and I go to our local shop every year and get free books and free swag and autographs and talk to people and shit, so that's cool. What Are You Reading is Saturday night. Of course, listen to The Shining Wizards. Let me play some music while we're doing this because Dave likes.
Yeah.
Let's play fucking Dave, Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers from Queens, New York.
From Queens, man.
All right. So, yeah, so check out all the shows. Shining Wizards, Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Fallen Angels, Apex Radio, Wolfman, Jack Foley, Just Incredibles 101. I just mentioned all the Rant shows. Don, Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio. Good show from them this week, last week.
And Handsome Dan's Final Word, which I'm on the latest episode.
Is that out yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Handsome Dan's Last Word.
I did it during Sacrifice. We complained a little bit about TNA. Not for much.
Can't wait to hear that. NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio, Tattoos and Touchdowns with Will Sweeney, Chris Espo, every Sunday on MoreLikeRadio.com. And our boys over at Ham Radio, Uncle Eddie, Joe C., Danny, Billy, and all those cats. So, that's going to do it for us, man.
That's it.
We want to thank everybody who hung out in the chat room and for fucking 40 minutes while I got that done. Happy birthday to Pastor.
Happy birthday, Pastor.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Many more.
Yeah, man. And Scott.
Scott!
There you go. That's for you, Scotty. I'm so glad I got that done today.
Oh, my God.
Dave, any closing thoughts before we put this bitch to bed?
Let's just tuck it in and give it a kiss goodnight.
So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. New one, Silent Majority coming out this weekend. Very excited about that. Episode 2 is in the books. It'll be out this weekend. Listen for that.
And hear about her DDP yoga excursion.
Yes. And you know what? Next month is May. It's Tag Team Month on the Throwback, so Dave and I got a hot tag. Yo, hot tag. We got a bunch of shit lined up for you guys. So listen in, and you guys are the greatest. We love you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. And we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Peace.
Good night.